Hello and welcome back to the BenHeck.com podcast. Before we start, we have a special celebrity guest interview. I know you all enjoyed it when we had Kate Beckinsale on. Now we've snagged yet another top actor. Please welcome Keanu Reeves.
Oh, thank you for having me on your casting of pods.
Yes, you're welcome. All right, well, Keanu Reeves, you've had quite a long career of many different movies. Would you like to tell us how you got started in filmmaking or acting or whatever it is you call what you do?
I just kind of wandered into a studio one day, and they said, "Hey, you're a good-looking guy." And I said, "Am I? Whoa." So they said, "Why don't you be in a movie?" And I said, "Okay." And a star was born or something.
So how do you pick your roles? I mean, what do you look for in a movie?
Well, I look for a title that tells me something because I do not like to read scripts. So when I saw the title for Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, for example, I knew that I would be either Bill or Ted and that I was going to have some sort of excellent adventure. And then when they came out with the sequel, I knew that I was again either Bill or Ted, probably the one I was last time, and that I was going to have some sort of bogus journey. And then, when they brought me the script to Chain Reaction, I knew that there would be some sort of chain reaction involved. Well, the one that threw me off was Constantine, because I thought I would be constantly doing something, but it turned out I was just fighting demons or something.
I see.
Whoa.
Well, here's a question I have for you then, as far as the titles helping you out.
Yes.
Your movie, A Walk in the Clouds. I actually worked at a movie theater when that came out, and I swear to God, every single person that came up to the ticket booth to ask for that ticket, none of them said the right name of the movie. They're always like, "Oh yeah, can I get two for Walking in Clouds or Cloud Walking?" And but then, even in the movie itself, there was no point in it where you or anyone else actually walked in the clouds. Did this confuse you?
I was thrown off by this. I thought for sure that I would be walking on the clouds, but it turned out I was growing grapes or something.
I see.
And I too had trouble when I went to see Walk in the Clouds, saying what the name of the movie was.
Right, because if it was a movie like Speed, in which you know you were speeding.
I knew I was speeding.
So you remembered the name.
Right.
Okay, well, speaking of Speed, famously you turned down the role of yourself in Speed 2 Cruise Control. Can you tell us why?
Because it sucked.
Well, yes, I mean, having William Dafoe running around with a laptop on a cruise ship. I mean, what is it, well, how fast does it go, like 15 miles an hour? That's not exactly speedy to me.
No, I would rather be on a bus than on a cruise ship that was out of control. And there were leeches in it, from what I saw. I mean, I liked making out with Sandra Bullock and all, but sometimes you have to ask yourself, why?
Why don't you tell us about your time on Bram Stoker's Dracula, in which you were actually playing a role in a classic piece of literature. Did you find that daunting?
No. I find nothing daunting because I don't think ahead. I just decide to do a movie, and then I show up on the studio, and I say, "What am I doing?" And they say, "You are going to stand over there." And I say, "Okay," and I stand over there, and then I do the lines that they tell me to say, whether they make sense or not. And it all kind of works out. Like when I did Matrix Revolutions and Matrix Reloaded, a person who thought ahead might actually have had problems doing those lines. But I just looked at the script and I regurgitated the dialogue and I didn't really think about what it might mean. To this day, I'm not actually sure what was happening in the last two Matrix movies.
I don't think anyone knows what was going on, so you're not alone in that department.
No.
Let's see. You've made some other movies, too. What was that one movie you made?
Sweet November?
Oh, that movie with What's-Her-Face, and then she, like, had cancer and died or something?
Yeah, that movie bummed me out for days.
I mean, November really isn't a verb,
no.
So that title didn't tell you what to do.
That was a daunting acting challenge, because I really didn't know from reading the title what I was supposed to do. I mean, sweet? What is that? Am I sweet like a cookie? And I believe November is a month of the year.
Yes, it is.
Yes, that is what I was told. If I am not mistaken, it is the month in which Thanksgiving happens.
Yes, which is... Oh, actually, now it's December. Last month was actually November.
That's right.
Actually, did you know that?
I think someone told me at some
point.
Well,
like, in your replacements movie, I mean, obviously you knew that you would replace
someone. I knew I was replacing someone.
Right, right.
Somewhere.
Okay.
Somehow.
So, okay, so do you have a thing for Rachel Weisz? Because you've been in a couple movies with her now. I mean, what's the truth?
Well, is she not hot?
Well, yeah, I guess she's, you know, she's pretty good. But what yeah. about, what's his face, Aronofsky? I mean, doesn't she, like, you know?
Oh, yeah, what? She's married?
Well, I think now she is.
Whoa.
Sorry, dude.
I thought I was married to Rachel Weisz. We had been in so many movies together. I thought, you know.
Kind of like a common law marriage?
Right. I mean, I thought, hey.
You do 7 movies and you're married?
Right, yeah. Kind of like Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn. I mean, after Overboard, I think they were legally married.
I
well,
see.
You know, like how if you shack up with a chick for 7 years, all of a sudden, from what I understand, you are technically married to that chick.
So, okay, well, we don't have a whole lot more time, but what was your favorite movie you ever did?
Oh, wow, that's a really tough one.
Do you remember all the movies you did? Like Point Break, in which I assume you broke things?
What? What was Point Break about again?
I don't know. I never saw it, but I think there was like a Nixon mask in it. And
whoa.
Breaking.
Whoa. Was that the one I did with the surfing and the bank robbing? Oh, yeah. I saw that movie on cable once, and I thought that dude in it looked familiar.
Yes, it was you.
Whoa.
Speaking of Keanu Reeves facsimiles, you know, much like Fiona Apple probably hates Nora Jones, how do you feel about Paul Walker kind of basically stealing your whole thing?
What?
You know, Paul Walker, he was in Fast and the Furious and some other shit.
Oh.
He basically acts just like you. I mean,
well,
what do you think?
I thought that was just me with blonde hair. I was wondering why I didn't have any checks from the Fast and the Furious.
In closing, I'd like to ask you about your amazing rock band, Dogstar.
Oh, yeah. We kick ass.
Okay, well, thank you for coming on the show, and if our audience liked our latest celebrity interview, well, let us know, and we'll try to get more celebrities on our show, because we're all about the celebrities. Okay, well, that was our interview with, not a vampire, but Keanu Reeves, and now we're going on to our regular podcast. I'm your host, Ben Heckendorn.
And I'm Jason Jones. And didn't he, like, briefly become, like, a vampire in Bram Stoker's Dracula or something at one point?
No, I think, like,
or was that, like, a dream sequence when he was getting bit by those naked vampire chicks?
One of which was Monica Bellucci, remember?
Was it?
Yeah, you didn't know that? Yeah.
Much like Keira Knightley was one of Padme's handmaidens in Phantom Menace. Fun fact.
Yes, that's true. No, I think they just kind of sucked his blood out to make him weak, and he's like, whoa, I can, like, not escape this castle now, because, whoa. Yeah.
Because he didn't have the strength.
Right, because they sucked all his blood.
Yeah, well, that'll happen.
Monica Bellucci was in that Shoot 'Em Up movie, too.
Yes, which I still need to see. I'm sure it'll be on DVD soon, so... I'll yes. have my chance.
It's not bad. Okay, well, our topics today include rock band.
Cock band?
No, rock band. And then we're going to talk about Jones's experiences with the PS3.
Yes.
And,
exciting as they are.
And anti-aliasing. Where has it gone? And then if we have any time, we're going to do Scarlett Johansson, Butterface or not. Don't ask.
Oh, boy. This is what happens when you watch The Man Who Wasn't There right before doing a podcast.
Hey, I like to mix things up on this podcast.
Obviously.
Okay. Well, let's see what we usually do. I didn't write an outline again because I thought we were going to do this Tuesday, but we ended up doing it on Sunday.
Well, there was some interesting news I just read today. Apparently, Activision and Vivendi Universal have merged, so they're now the biggest third-party video game manufacturer.
Well,
Activision was bigger than EA.
Right, but Activision was already, like, making more money than EA.
Yeah, EA was still bigger than the two of them, though, like, for their revenue.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Revenue-wise, they were still bigger. But that was just announced over the weekend, I think, so it has to go through all the legal mumbo-jumbo, but one of the interesting things about that is that Vivendi Universal has the largest catalog of music of any publisher in the world, and guess what? Activision makes Guitar Hero, so...
Well, they're going to have to step up to their A game now, in my opinion at least.
So that'll be interesting to see what comes of that, if anything. And then one other fun thing I read today is I guess BioShock is going to be getting a little patch this week and some downloadable content, which I believe is supposed to be free, and it's going to be new plasmids, which doesn't surprise me because in the video I watched back before BioShock came out, they showed where you could kind of teleport in the game. Mm-hmm. That's something you can't do in BioShock in its state as we know it today, so I have a feeling that's going
to
be one of these
plasmids
that'll
PC.
Show up. I think that's supposed to come out this week, so... And supposedly it's all supposed to be free, but we'll see.
They're not going to have Little Sister armor?
I don't think so.
I know we just kind of threw together our Keanu Reeves interview intro because the Oregon Trail movie intro wasn't working for me. But we also thought about doing an Oblivion Writers Guild expansion pack trailer.
Yes.
I wasn't exactly sure what would happen, but you'd have to go into caves and pick it, and then someone I'm sure would say, "Thank you, kind sir."
It'd be, "Thank you, kind sir."
Say, you want to join the Writers Guild, huh? not going to get any of my blood. Well, that's interesting about Activision. I mean, obviously, with like Guitar Hero 3 and Call of Duty 4, they've been making a lot of money this holiday season.
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting little development, so we'll see how it goes.
Well, maybe, I hate to say this, but maybe it'll cause EA to concentrate more on quality than...
Yeah, then just shoveling shit out the door.
Right, because I think they have a bit of brand fatigue. They're kind of becoming like Disney, you know. Disney made tons of money, but then they started making all the, like, you know, easy, you know,
the
like...
direct-to-video
Beauty
sequels.
And the Beast 5, The Enchanted Dildo. Hanukkah or whatever. And no one just... Eventually, just no one cared.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of what's happened. Of course, when we get into Rock Band, I don't really think that had any quality problems. But, of course, that's third-party or... Not actually first-party EA.
It's a studio that's just owned by EA, but they haven't sunk their meat hooks into them enough yet, I guess. So,
yeah, okay, well, so any other... I saw some sales charts. Like, apparently the PS3 has outsold the Wii for 2 weeks in Japan.
Yeah, I think so. Hmm. And then they showed... I know sales stats for, like, Black Friday week... The Wii sold about 350,000 units, this is domestically, and the 360 sold like 310,000, and then the PS3, Sony hadn't released any sales numbers, but they did make some comment that in the month of November, PS3 sales have tripled against the normal rate, because
they sold like 10 of them last week then?
Wow, I was thinking it was like 6 that they sold, but I guess that $400 one they came out with is helping them a bit, which isn't very surprising, I mean, if you think about it. It's like they're starting to get down to a more realistic price point, and people are buying them. What a shock. So, although I still don't know why, but we'll get to that in a little while.
Well, I know I bring this up a lot, but $350 for an Xbox 360, I don't think that's unreasonable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because people were buying $300 PS2s 5 years ago, and even that, inflation-adjusted...
Well, people were buying $300 PS1s 10 years ago.
People were buying $250 Atari 2600s in 1977.
Yeah.
So inflation-adjusted, $350 is not so bad. I mean,
no. That's
a... What would that be? That's $300 divided by... How much of an increase is that in like a percentage? Like 20%? You're like
pretty good 51, with numbers. Have you like 16 2/3% increase?
Right, and that's not. I mean, well, especially the inflation we've had recently.
Well, it's cheaper than a Saturn was when it came out. but yeah, it's.
Or if you get the arcade one, I don't know. Yeah. I don't think the price is that bad. I mean,
no, I don't think it is. But I can see why there's just for some reason with video game consoles, there's still a stigma with that price point. But I think the thing is, you know, certain systems, two of the three systems, go beyond just being a gaming system, and so I think that's a big part of it too. Is it's more of a multimedia piece of equipment now, and people are still just looking at them as video game consoles, except for the PS3, which I think most people look at as a Blu-ray player, because that's about the only real useful thing that it can do right now. But, you know, I think as time goes on, people are going to realize, well, hey, this isn't that bad of a deal, because it can, you know, play video games, it can go online, it can, you know, download movies and do all this other crap, too.
So, unlike the Wii, which removes functionality in its updates. Did you hear that?
Yeah, what was it that they got rid of?
MP3 support or something?
Yeah, it was something pretty absurd. It sounded like it was just like in the photo channel or something. Was that it?
Still, I mean, removing functionality?
Yeah, it's pretty lame. I mean, if the functionality was causing a problem, I could see it, but...
Well, you know what MP3 functionality... It has a cost associated with it.
Yeah.
Licensing. Because
kinda
heaven
like
forbid
DVDs.
Heaven forbid Nintendo give you anything. But we've beaten that dead horse. That dead horse really needed some horse armor because we've beaten the hell out of it. Only $250.
But it can't have any because it doesn't have Oblivion.
Okay, well, as far as games we've been playing, the games you've been playing, we'll probably go into your PS3 rant.
Yeah, I haven't really played much, but I played a little bit. Last week.
I'm just saying, I think we kind of glossed over that section because it's kind of covered by our topics.
Yeah.
So, shall we just move on to our first topic
then?
Sure,
let's get in there.
All right, Rock Band!
Yes.
If you have any number of friends...
Who can actually physically come to your house.
Right, which I would hope most people would. And if any of them remotely like Guitar Hero, it is definitely worth $170. No doubt.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. It's pretty cool. I think I was pretty impressed by it. I liked it a lot. One of the things I don't like is that like the Band World Tour mode is only local play, and you have to have two people available to play it. So like
that is a negative.
So like for people like me, it's like, well, I'm sitting around home alone most of the time these days. So
the burglars attack.
Yeah. So, like, for me, a game like Guitar Hero, I think, still has more value, just because I don't have, you know, this tribe of people that comes over on a whim and plays it or whatever, you know.
We can come over here and play my copy.
Well, sometimes. Gotta fight for TV rights or whatever, you know, so. But,
gotta fight for your right to party.
But, like, with you, you know, you got two roommates, and so it's, like, pretty much... On any given night, you know, a little Rock Band action can break out, and it just, I don't know. It's a very cool game. I mean, yeah, if you got, like, you know, brothers and sisters or just friends that come over a lot, I mean, hell yeah, it's a blast when you got, like, 3-4 people playing it.
Right, so I that would probably be that's the main thing to think about if you're thinking about getting it.
Yeah.
But if you can do that, it's $70 more than Guitar Hero, and I think it's definitely worth it.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of fun. So, and the one thing I noticed too is it doesn't have any of like the technical glitches that Guitar Hero 3 has. Where like Guitar Hero 3, I mentioned it a podcast or two ago, but like when you deploy your star power, the screen will kind of lurch and lag a little bit.
Uh-huh.
I didn't see any of that in Rock Band, and it's like if you got four people playing, you've got three fretboard-type things flying by, two for the guitars, one for the drums, and you've got the vocal thing across the top. I never noticed a hint of lag anywhere in the game.
Right.
And it's very well executed. I like how if you do have a couple of people and you play the Band World Tour mode, it seemingly goes on forever. And you can buy like new songs and download them in, and they'll... The game incorporates any downloaded content into the Band World Tour mode.
Yep.
So it's like all of a sudden you just have, oh, we got like, you know, 10 more songs that we can play. You don't have to go out into like quick play or, you know, something stupid like that to be able to play them. It incorporates them into every aspect of the game.
Right.
Which I thought was really slick how they did that.
Yeah, and you can actually buy the songs individually.
Yep. And the packs are cheaper than the Guitar Hero
like
packs. Like
$5.50, right?
They're like 50 points less or something. They're 60 points less, I think it is. Because I think they're like $4.40, aren't they?
Yes, a pack of songs, of three songs.
And the Guitar Hero ones are $500.
Or you can just buy the individual songs. And some of the songs aren't in packs, like Seems like most of the ones I bought weren't in packs.
Yeah, like Fortunate Son. I know that one's just out on its own.
Or Jukebox Hero, or what else? I bought Bang a Gong, My Sharona.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think the price is that bad. I mean, think like it's $1 for a song on iTunes, and then they had to program it in. That's like another $1. That's $2. I mean, that's I can accept that.
Yeah, and it's not so bad if you're going to get your mileage out of them, I think, too.
And you know, the fact that they're releasing new songs every week is pretty cool.
That's pretty sweet, yeah. We'll see how long they keep that up, but hopefully they keep it going for quite a while.
I mean, it'd be a good revenue stream if they do.
And they made I was telling Ben earlier, I'm like, there's actually a song pack for Rock Band that I would like to buy, where so far for Guitar Hero there hasn't been anything that I wanted to buy, but they have a cool Metallica one where it's got some of the like badass 80s Metallica songs, and I think those would be a lot of fun to play. And so if and when I do get Rock Band someday, that would be one I'll definitely be buying.
So, yeah, Enter Sandman is in the main game, and it's hard.
Yeah, that one's not even nearly as cool as these three downloadable songs. But
right, but it's well remembered.
Yeah.
Maybe we should talk briefly about just like the instruments, and you know, a lot of people, when people have asked me about it, they always ask about the drums because they know how the guitar works. People know how singing works, but the drums are kind of this X factor. So
the drums are pretty tough. I only played them a couple of times.
The foot pedal is what makes it hard.
Yeah, it takes some getting used to. I think one of the things too, I do have a little bit of a gripe with the user interface, is just they changed like the icons to like little rectangles instead of like the nice
ovals. It always reminds me of Arkanoid, the video game.
Yeah.
When it comes on the screen.
And it's kind of hard to see, like for people that have played Guitar Hero, they'll be familiar with the terminology of the hammer-ons and pull-offs. And it's, I don't know, I had a hard time telling when it was a note where I could actually do a hammer-on or a pull-off on it.
Because they're just like a little shorter than the
other ones. They just make
them
a little shorter,
Now, what can you do in those cases? How do those work?
Well, what is it? It's like a hammer-on, like let's say you got a green note coming up, and then there's a red right after it that's like the little rectangle.
Right.
You could actually hold down green, strum it, and then just hit red. You don't need to strum for the red note.
Oh, but the next whole red note you would.
Whatever the next whole note would be, you would actually have to hit it and strum, and then pull-offs work in the opposite direction. So like if there was a yellow, you'd hit that, and then if there's a red and a green after it, you could just go tap red, tap green, without having to strum.
So basically the little notes you don't have to strum when you push them,
mm-hmm.
which lets you play faster or something, right?
Yeah, it's basically an essential skill if you play on hard or expert.
I have noticed some people have complained about the strummy thing on the new guitar. And at first, I liked how it didn't make noise like the Guitar Hero one, but yes, when you're doing really fast notes and you can't really feel the clicking, it's not as precise.
Yeah, I think the Guitar Hero 3 controller is superior to this one. I like a lot of the stuff about the new, like the Rock Band one, but that strum bar, I just can't get used to it. It feels really flimsy. I mean, yeah, like you say, I can appreciate they wanted to quiet it down, but you just don't have the feel there like you do with the Les
Paul. It probably uses a mushy contact dome instead of a mechanical switch.
Yeah, so you don't get kind of that, you don't get that little bit of feedback that you get off of
you
the
don't
guitar.
Know that you've pushed it.
Yeah.
Could always hack it with some nice old tack switches.
There you go.
Probably wouldn't be that hard to get in there. One thing we found, well, okay, with the drums, the hardest thing about the drums is the foot pedal, because there's four drums, obviously, and that's not so hard, but then you have to push the foot pedal, you know, the doom, doom, doom.
Yeah, and for that, they just have, like, a orange line go across on the screen. Like, you might have to hit, like, red and green at the same time that you got to hit the foot pedal. So there's a lot of coordination involved with the drumming.
And we came up with something called foot pedal sploitin'.
Yeah.
You have an extra person in the room just work the foot pedal.
Yeah.
And it makes the drums a lot easier.
And from what I've read, and I can kind of see it from the little bit of time I played the drums, but people that apparently think they know or whatever, they say basically if you can get really good and play expert drums on this game, you probably could play real drums. It's not like with the guitar where it's like, yeah, you can play on expert, but that doesn't mean you can play a real guitar worth a shit. So And I can see it, because it's, you know, basically you got to get the motion and the timing down and stuff, and it's, you know, pretty similar to right. how a drum kit would be, I'd think, so.
One thing I noticed with the singing, now, as at least my friends know, I am a karaoke aficionado.
Karaoke Christ, in fact.
I don't know if I'm as good as I used to be.
You're out of practice.
I should. No, I do it quite a bit.
Do you?
We went karaokeing last night. I don't know why.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, Dave and Mary and I went to. We went over to the bowling alley.
Yes.
There's actually other idiots out in the ice. Yeah, kind of. Oh, we did a rock band song. We did "Say It Ain't So."
Oh, really?
Yes, it was awesome. We certainly got enough practice.
Now
with
you
it.
Can practice at home.
Anyway, it was a little different than karaoke because you actually have to be accurate. You don't just have to be energetic.
Yeah.
And yeah. It has like a pitch meter. This little arrow will show you where your pitch is, and if you're like on the note, when the words are scrolling across, there's words and there's like bars which represent the pitch. And as they get to the line, there's an arrow, and if you're right on the note, the arrow kind of stays in the note, but if you're above or below, the arrow kind of like tips up or down, kind of like a target.
Okay.
So you can be like, and see where you can get the little thing to go.
Yeah.
And it works pretty good, but it's different than karaoke. I guess there's really no other way to put it.
Yeah, I didn't even try the vocals yet. I'll have to at some point, it's a good thing you described what it's like. You know, I've pretty much been playing guitar the whole time or whatever, so I haven't been able to even look at that part of the screen to see how it works, but.
And the other problem, I guess the reason we're talking about problems with Rock Band is because I think overall it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty solid, yeah.
So, really, I think it's better to talk about a few problems than only have a few good things to say about it. So, anyway, any of these games, there's, you know, a decent amount of songs you probably haven't heard before, and I would also concede that the song selection built in for Rock Band isn't as good as Guitar Hero, and not as big. Even if you don't know the song, you get the notes for the drums, the guitars, but if you have to sing it, you actually have to know how to sing it, and you have to know the words, and it could be a lot more difficult. And again, if you have a bunch of people, there's more chance that someone will actually know one of the songs.
Yeah.
But that definitely can be like kind of a weak link.
That was one of the things I was noticing, like with that Metallica song pack I was talking about, because it's like they've got Ride the Lightning, Blackened, and Injustice for All for the songs. And it's like somebody who just thinks of Metallica as like Enter Sandman or whatever. If they go in and try to sing Ride the Lightning, they're probably going to completely bomb it because the song Ride the Lightning, it's like from mid-80s and he sang with a much higher pitch in it than he did. You know, he isn't like, you know, growling and gravelly like in the 90s Metallica and stuff like that. So that's a good example of where, you know, people just think, oh, I know Metallica or whatever, and you'd probably totally bomb out on that song if you hadn't heard it before.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But it's still fun.
Oh, yeah, it's a blast. It's I know we played it. Like, I only got to play it that one weekend, but we played it quite a bit when we did. And
value-wise, the $170 is better spent than the $50 I spent on Call of Duty 4. Time spent, I mean.
Yeah. Oh, fun fact, for anybody out there who does want to buy Call of Duty 4 on 360, I noticed in the Circuit City flyer today that it's $40, so if you want it.
$40?
Yeah.
On the 360?
Yeah.
That's, just think, folks, that's only like $8 an hour to play it.
So I figured for anybody out there who is still thinking about it, there's something I still
Circuit
needed
City's
to get down
awesome.
To.
Circuit City's awesome.
I probably needed to get down to about 20, but that's okay.
Gamefly.
Yeah. Knock it out in a day.
So, yeah, I mean, I bought it, what was it, on Wednesday, just before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And I played it with friends back home, then I played it at my sister's, then we played it here, and I've probably put like 30 or 40 hours in it myself just since it's come out. And I actually went karaoke a few nights ago, and I was actually screwed up. I was so used to the rock banding.
Yeah.
Rock banding. I'd forgotten kind of how the karaoke works, and I was like, oh, shit. Rock band has ruined me. So, yeah, just it's different than karaoke. Let's see. We should probably move on to our next topic here before too long. Well, something else I thought, just compared to like the Guitar Hero 3, the presentation of it. Sometimes the menus are a little wanky, and it takes a while to figure out what the hell's going on. But when you actually get into the songs, the presentation is just far, far beyond Guitar Hero 3.
Yeah, it's pretty nice looking.
Like, the guitarist will lean in and sing with the main singer in some parts. The main singer will jump into the audience. Like, the bassist will, like, jump in the air, then slide across the floor and hit a note on the guitar. Or my personal favorite, everyone will, like, jump in the air and land at the same time on the final note.
See, I never even pay any attention to what the hell's going on in the background.
Well, if you're, like, not playing the round, you can see that.
I suppose sometimes for you, like, if you're doing vocals and stuff, there's some songs where there's, like, you know, a solo or whatever, so you don't really have anything to do. And
or, like, Don't Fear the Reaper, where there's, like, there is a lot of cowbell.
Yeah. But, what was the other thing with that? Oh, and one cool thing that'll happen is if you're, like, whole band's really kicking ass at a song, and sometimes the crowd will start singing along with you.
Oh yeah, that's awesome.
Which is pretty cool. And
then if you suck, you can actually bring people back by using the overdrive, not star power.
Yeah. Oh, and there's a couple other neat things, like with the drums. Like, you deploy your overdrive, like in the middle of the song, you'll kind of do a little
freestyle thing,
drumming thing,
fun.
And then you got to hit like one note at the end of it, and then it'll deploy your overdrive.
Or if you don't hit it, you can store up more overdrive for next time. And then if everybody turns on their overdrive at the same time, you get like 4x multiplier or something.
Yeah, some big multiplier.
That's usually when you get the crowd singing, is when you have everybody on overdrive. Oh, and to overdrive on singing, there's certain points where the background changes to yellow and you can just basically say whatever you want, like more cowbell.
Or how you do in Cleveland, because it's always Cleveland for some reason.
Or get it in there.
And then at the end of the songs...
Some songs.
Not all songs, just some songs, but they'll actually have it where all the band members can kind of freestyle and everything, so like the guitar players and the drummers and everything, so you can just sit there and like go nuts, hit whatever the heck you feel like. You'll build up all these...
Bonus points.
And then you'll have like a few notes at the end of that you all have to hit at the same time, and if you do, then you get the bonus points.
Yeah, and you can usually get like 15,000 on that.
Yeah.
What's cool is like when you have the whole band, that's how you get the really big scores.
Yeah.
You're like, if you're just by yourself, you're hard-pressed to get 100,000. Two people might get 200,000, but if you're like three or four, you can easily get up toward 400,000. And that's just us. I mean, obviously on the leaderboards, there's people that are just...
Yeah,
have done nothing but play the game since it came out, apparently.
Well, like, yeah, and if your
Seventh Son is still the number one group.
Well, and if everybody in your group can play on expert and play well, I'm sure you can probably, you know, get over 1,000,000 on a song without much trouble. But we're lowly medium dwellers for the most part. We hit hard a little bit. There's some songs we've been learning we can
do on
hard.
Well, there is a way you can kind of exploit it. You go around on tour,
and
you open up gigs, and what you can do is you can find a gig that has a make a song set list, and you just like pick two songs that are pretty easy, like Say It Ain't So or Creep.
Yeah.
And then you can run that on hard, and then you actually get more fans. Because if you play everything on medium, you can still open up gigs and songs, but you never get any more fans.
And then there's some venues and cities that you have to get certain fan levels to be able to open up, and so you have to actually delve into hard to be able to do that. And a little exploit we found also with that, which we kind of discovered by accident at first, was because we were playing some song, and usually I take the lead guitar, because even though I'm not like a Guitar Hero god, I'm pretty good. That's like my best
thing. Than I have.
Yeah, so I'd usually take lead, but for some reason one night, I think you took vocals, Dave mistakenly took lead, and I took bass, and I didn't know I took bass, and I'm sitting there playing it on hard, and I'm like, god damn, this is really easy. And all that, and then I realized after another song that I was actually playing bass. And so what you can do to kind of exploit the world tour thing in a way is you can, if you have two people and one person's good at singing, is you can have them do the vocals on hard and then have the guitar person do bass on hard, and it's a lot easier.
Because if you know the song, it's not too hard to do it on hard.
Yeah. So that's a little exploit we found for two people playing it.
Yep.
Because the drums and the guitar, or lead guitar, are obviously the more difficult.
And the more people you get in, everyone has to be better. Like, to advance, everyone has to play at medium, or everyone has to play at hard.
Yeah.
Or it's like, you're all playing at the level of the lowest player.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we should probably move on, but yeah, I would highly recommend it. It's a lot of fun. screw Guitar Hero, as far as I'm concerned. It'll be interesting to see what they do with it in the future, but
yeah,
it's definitely a good effort from EA, and I'd probably say it's one of the best games of the year that I've played.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. Best party game I've ever played, I would say, for an actual party game type thing, so...
Now I want to play it. After this podcast, we should try to get over 400,000.
All right, we'll see if Dale will let us sneak in.
Oh, right. Okay, well, let's move on to our next topic. One more thing about... the best thing about Rock Band is it's not on the Wii.
Yes! Zing! It is on the PS2, actually, though, I noticed.
It is?
Yeah.
No.
When I was on Amazon, they had a PS2 listing for it. It doesn't come out until December 11th, though, I think. So, like, right now, the 360 and PS3 versions are the only ones that
are out. But there's still no Wii version, right?
Correct.
Yes!
Yeah. And there probably won't be. Pwned and boned.
Okay, well, let's move on to our next topic, speaking of consoles. Well, why don't you tell us what's up with your...
Ugh. Well, as everybody knows by now, I would think my 360 is in a repair center somewhere on the slab doing God knows what.
Oh, hey, I want to insert something right there. My Red Ring of Death story.
Oh, Red Ring of Death story.
Last night, after the horrific ice storm of the Midwest, there was actually some thunder and lightning. And all of a sudden, I think we just got done finished playing Rock Band. What a shock. And I was about to turn off the Xbox, and there was like a brownout. Like, the lights kind of like, really just that fast. But the Xbox, like, went nuts, and it had three rings of light.
And what did you say?
I didn't say anything, but Dave was like, Red Rings of Death!
Nobody went, no!
But then what I realized was, three rings of light also can mean power supply failure or a problem.
Yeah.
So I figured it probably just wanked the power supply, and once I restarted it, it was fine.
Yeah.
But, because it doesn't necessarily mean, it means general hardware failure. Doesn't
mean system death, necessarily.
Right, like if you just like hooked up the 5 volts to your Xbox and not the 12 from the power supply and tried to turn it on, you get the same thing. Okay, so your Xbox is in a repair center.
Yes, and so, my good friend Kurt had loaned me his 360 for a little while, but then he wanted it back because he had gotten Mass Effect and he wanted to play it, and I can't say that I blame him. So he said, well, you know what, I've got a PS3 that I pretty much never use, so if you want, you can borrow that. And I'm like, okay, fine. So got that all hooked up with the HDMI and all that, and I thought, well, what the heck, this will give me a chance to spend a little time with one of the other consoles and see what I think of it. And I haven't really played it that much because, frankly, the games for it are pretty goddamn boring and not very interesting.
What games have you been playing?
I got to play MotorStorm, which looks really nice, but it's pretty lame as far as a racing game. And then I also played Heavenly Sword, which, you know, I guess when that was coming out, people were calling it Goddess of War, but it's pretty goddamn lame. It doesn't hold a candle to God of War. Literally, I have played 4 acts of that game, and all it is defend your position, basically. Like, I was in some little fort, and 3 of the acts were guys are trying to come into the fort, you're in the little, whatever, middle section of the fort where it's big open area, guys just keep running in, you kill them, move on to the next act. That's all it is. And then the 4th act, you got to do a little bit of archery, and then cut to a scene where guys are coming into an area and you have to kill them. You literally don't seem to have to move anywhere. It's not like God of War where you're moving through a scene, or a, you know, a chapter.
The
or
little
whatever.
Bits I played of it, I would agree, that was my impression as well.
I was very disappointed, because that was like one of the few games for it that I thought, oh yeah, that could be cool. But and then I played Ninja Gaiden Sigma a little bit the other day, and I don't know, I think I made it to the end of the first level because I had to fight some bastard, and it just wasn't very cool again. It's just, like, very boring. It's like, even if I really wanted to play that system, it's like none of these games give me any reason to.
Oh, that's unfortunate. I mean, I enjoyed Resistance Fall of Man / Sony quite a bit, but beyond that, nothing's really blown my skirt up.
And I do have that one from him, and I just haven't popped it in yet. But
that one's a lot of fun online.
I should pop that one in and give it a shot. But it's like, you know, these are for the most part, these are kind of the heavy hitter games for the system so far that are like the exclusives, because, I mean, of course, Oblivion and games like that are on the PS3, but it's just not fun. It's like, I actually had to sit there and be like, oh, I guess I'll, you know, work at that for a while and give it a shot, and it just, I don't know, not very cool. I've gotten way more mileage out of it as a movie/Blu-ray player, because I rented a couple of movies from Netflix in Blu-ray since I was going to have it laying around and watch those.
How'd those
Friday
look?
Night. They looked pretty good. Looked good. Especially, I got the two Fantastic Four movies, and the second one looked really good. The first one was pretty decent, but you could tell that the extra couple of years, I guess, did it a little bit of help, and they probably had a little bit more money for making the second one. So, but then I sat around and watched Star Wars movies yesterday afternoon since the ice storm was going on and I couldn't make it to Verona for Rock Band, but it's pretty sad because it's like, you look at the thing and it's obviously a very impressive piece of hardware. I mean, it can do a lot of stuff, but there's just so many things that are frustrating about it. It's like, if it would have come out before the 360, and I know I am 360 fanboy and whatever and all that, but it's like, if it had come out before the 360, some of the things probably wouldn't irk me as much. Like, when I first hooked it up to the internet, I had to do a system update. So I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. Sitting there, and after 20-some minutes, it craps out midway through the download at like 50-some percent. And it had to completely restart, and then it was, you know, at least another half hour, 40 minutes, before it finally downloaded it, and then it took it, I don't know, 5 minutes or whatever to install the stupid thing. So it took me over an hour just to get the goddamn thing online, where 360, as we all know, do a dashboard update, generally takes maybe a minute or two.
The game updates on the PS3 take a long time as well.
Yeah, which I haven't run into one of those yet, thankfully. But then another thing was I went out on the PlayStation Network after playing User Agreement the game, which didn't take nearly as long as it did in our first adventure with the PS3. But it still took me probably 10 minutes to mow through it. And finally got online, and I did get Jar Jar as God for my PlayStation Network name, so that made me happy. And
I can't believe it wasn't taken.
Yeah, a miracle. I don't have any fans like you, so since you got your Steam name taken.
Oh, I'm going to find that guy or girl, make them wish they were never born.
But so I rolled out to the store, you know, and I was like, oh yeah, I know there's like that Gran Turismo demo and some other stuff I wanted to download, so I downloaded that.
What'd you think of their store? Is it still like a junk heap?
I kind of like the store, but navigating it sucks. I like its layout and the visual style with it, but navigation does not work. There's times where you think, oh, I want to go back, and so my natural instinct is to hit the circle button to go back, but instead it decides, oh, you want to leave the store? And I'm like, no, that's not what I want to do.
Oh, but, yeah, that happens with the browser, too.
Yeah, but you have to actually go down to the bottom of the screen, and there's, like, some back button or something you hit, but...
You know, you can hook a mouse up to it.
That's true, and a keyboard, but so I'm sitting there, and I downloaded the Gran Turismo thing, and I downloaded, like, a Formula One demo. Those things took forever to download. They were, like, 600-some megs each. They probably took at least double the time that, like, a gigabyte download will take off of Xbox Live. And then once they're finally downloaded, I'm like, oh, cool, I want to go...
With the same internet connection.
Mm-hmm, yep. And go to fire it up. Oh, you have to install me now. So then it takes probably 3-4 minutes to install the Gran Turismo HD demo, where, again, compare it to the 360, you download a demo, you go and click launch, and boom, you can play it. You don't need to install it or do any of this shit. PlayStation, you got to sit there and twiddle your thumbs for a few minutes again. And I felt like, even though I've got like this very advanced piece of technology sitting here, I felt like from a user interface and usability perspective that I had taken a step or two backwards from where I've been, which is pretty unfortunate. And I think it shows that even though Microsoft is new to the gaming console world compared to Sony and Nintendo, of course, they're light years ahead of the game in terms of like OS design and user interface design and deploying software updates, patches, whatever you want to call it.
Well, sure, they've got all that history.
Yeah, and they're obviously putting it to use, because when you use the other systems, you see how far they are behind compared to the 360.
Well, the Wii's online and all that is, the menus, I think it's far beyond the PS3.
Yeah,
And the on-screen QWERTY keyboard.
Yeah, I would say that the Wii's, you know, dashboard or whatever you want to call it is more user-friendly.
Why don't they put a QWERTY keyboard on the Xbox? That should be an update.
I don't know. You can go buy one and plunk it onto your controller.
Will it fit onto my guitar?
Probably not. So PS3, not that I spent a lot of time playing it. I mean, I probably played Heavenly Sword for an hour or so. Even the guy that owns it, he even told me, he's like, yeah, it's pretty repetitive. He's like, that's pretty much how the game is. He's like, it does get better later in the game when you do get the Heavenly Sword.
Shouldn't it be good in the beginning to make you want to play it?
I would like to think so, yeah.
Look at old God of War. It's like, yeah, we're just going to start this with him fighting a giant colossus.
Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, give me that, you know, give me a reason to play it. And then I played MotorStorm. I think I only did a race or two. Sadly, probably the game I had the most fun playing was the F1 Championship racing game demo that I downloaded. That actually looked really cool and played really good. And, of course, the six-axis controller, it's just, like, old, boring, lame compared to the 360 controller. So it's funny because I think I said this to Ben sometime this past week, but I was like, you know, every now and then I'll get a little urge where I think, yeah, I should go get a PS3 someday, mainly because of Blu-ray, so I can have both HD options available. But it would be nice if there were some games and whatever that could be played on it too to get a little more out of it. And every time I kind of think about that, I've realized all I need to do is go and actually play one, and then it'll totally zap all of my desire to own one.
What about Gran Turismo, whatever, if it ever comes out?
That's, like, the only thing that'll get me to go over the hump, I think. Unless it gets down to, like, $200, and it's like, okay, a $200 Blu-ray player or something, but that ain't gonna happen for quite a while. But it's everything else, like Metal Gear, as I've said before, I don't give a shit. You know, it's like Gran Turismo 5 is the only feather Sony's got in their cap, as far as I'm concerned, for getting me to buy on. But right now, no reason for me to buy one of those things.
Hmm. That's too bad.
Actually, it's good. It saved me money, but...
Oh, never mind. That's good, then. All right, well, shall we talk about anti-aliasing for a while, or anything else you want to say about the PS3?
I don't think so. It's still every bit as disappointing as it was last New Year's, or whatever that was, when we played it, I guess, so...
Okay. All right, our final topic is anti-aliasing. Where did it go?
The way of the buffalo.
Tatanka. It used to be that, you know, the PS2 didn't have anti-aliasing built into the hardware, and everyone complained, and the Xbox and the GameCube did. Now, it's several years later, and it's nary you'll see an anti-aliased game. Oh, by anti-aliasing, if you don't know what that means, it's like when they have a pass where they soften the edges of things. Like, for instance, Oblivion has anti-aliasing, but Halo 3 does not, for instance.
Yeah.
It just looks better, softer. I just think it's kind of strange that the consoles get more advanced and then a feature that was in the last generation is gone.
Well, and like you were saying, with the 360 hardware-wise, there's actually a chip in it that's like all it was put in there for was doing anti-aliasing,
right? 10
megs
of RAM built into the GPU that can be used as a frame buffer for quote-unquote free anti-aliasing, but
yeah.
They must use it for other things instead.
Yeah, I guess it's probably up to developers to use that however they want. And
I don't know, did you notice was Mass Effect anti-aliased?
I think it was. I mean, it looked pretty damn good.
Yeah.
I can't remember because we just played it that little bit, but like Gears is anti-aliased, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Because that looks really nice.
Yeah, it's just kind of disappointing that, you know, most games aren't.
And like the PS3, like the games I have played on the PS3, those all are.
Right.
So it's like, you know, maybe when the games are exclusive to the PS3, they put that little bit of extra love into them or something and clean them up. I don't know, but...
Actually, Rock Band is anti-aliased, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, because that looks
really... Oh, we didn't even talk about all the... modifications you can do to your Rock Band. You can, like, make your Rock Band.
Put tattoos on your guys all over.
And you can make a Rock Band logo.
Yeah.
And it's neat because you can use all this art, and then for the logos or the art or the tattoos, you can take all these pieces of art and, like, pile them on top of each other in layers, kind of like Photoshop, and move them around and do whatever you want.
Yeah, it's very similar to if anybody out there is familiar with the car customization in Forza Motorsport 2. It's very similar. Because you can just pile, like, 100 layers. I don't know if Rock Band can go that far, but you can just put, like, 100 layers of shit together and make all sorts of cool designs, so...
Okay, well,
it's pretty
okay.
Neat.
Yes, one more cool feature. But, yeah, like, remember we saw that poster for Harold and Kumar 2 at the movie theater, and Neil Patrick Harris is on a unicorn.
On a unicorn, yep. So you put one on your
backup,
lead singer's...
The backup lead singer.
Okay.
Yeah, Casey Munchkin, she has a unicorn on her midriff and NPH.
Yeah, NPH next to it. That's right. But,
yeah, anti-aliasing.
But yeah, it's funny though, because even though, like, these PS3 games, like I was saying, you know, they all seem to have it, none of them really look better than the average 360 game. And I'm not really saying that just because I'm a fanboy. Like, the only one I think that really stands out is MotorStorm. Like, that one looks really good if you're playing it on an HD set. Heavenly Sword looked pretty good, you know, but it didn't blow my skirt up or anything.
Right.
I think, like, Gears of War and BioShock, you know, games like that look way better on the 360. But.
Well, I think a lot of it is the art design, too, even above just the graphics. I mean, obviously, yeah. The art design on BioShock is amazing.
Yeah, it was phenomenal, so... But, yeah, it's kind of funny. It's kind of like hit or miss with it. You kind of wonder why people don't really seem to care, or maybe people do care. I guess you had a poll on your site, and people on your site seem to care.
Well, you also got to think that, you know, for 10 or 15 years, everyone had nice-sounding CDs in their cars. Now everybody has
crappy
MP3s.
Yeah, and they're happy about it because they can fit a lot of them on their little iPod, so...
Strange how things work.
Sacrifice quality for quantity, I guess.
And then I won't even get started on HDTV live compression artifacts.
Ugh. Yeah, just watch
terrible.
A sporting event sometime in HD. Prepare
close
to vomit.
Up, look in the background, you're like, oh my god, this is the future?
Remember that time, I think it was earlier this year when the Daytona 500 was on, and you happened to come over, and it was, like, just towards the end of the race.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, like, an HD feed and all that, but it just looked like complete shit.
Well, it probably was a constant bitrate, because if it's a live event, mm-hmm. they can't optimize it ahead of time, just like those old cheap DVDs, or like the Rocketeer DVD,
yeah.
which did have Jennifer Connelly in it, but it was obviously a cheapo constant bitrate.
And Timothy Dalton.
Right. Whereas if you have, then I noticed if you have like a broadcast show on HD, they've obviously like pre-optimized,
yeah, can,
and that comes in, looks fine. There's like nary a compression artifact
oh, yeah.
in sight.
But it's just funny, a big part of the pitch of HD, you know, seems to be, oh, you know, watch, you know, NFL Sundays on HD and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, and it looks like shit.
I think it does. I think it looks like utter shit, because there's so much compression garbage.
Well, the thing
first,
is...
you get these idiots that don't know, all they know is there's a word in front of it, like, high definition, like, oh, that must make it better.
Well, the thing that's funny about it is because every now and then during the feed, you'll get glimpses of how good it can look.
Usually when it's not moving.
When it's, like, kind of, you know, like, the guys are coming up to the line of scrimmage or whatever, so there's not, like, a lot of motion, or, you know, they zoom in on the quarterback behind mm-hmm. the center. It's like, damn, that looks really freaking awesome. But then it gets to, you know, hike and whatever, and then it's like, oh, yeah, bunch of garbled compression shit on
yeah,
the
screen. Yeah, it's too bad, you know, since I'm sure they have the Janet Joplin.
The little buffer time.
The Janet Jackson buffer.
The Nipplegate buffer.
Yes. Oh, I was reading that William Goldman book, and...
Yes.
I don't know which one it was, like, Bob Woodward, or what was the other one, Carl...
Bernstein.
Bernstein. I think it was Carl Bernstein, actually was married to Nora Ephron for a while.
Really?
Yeah, your favorite director.
Obviously. She is my hero. Sergio Leone doesn't compare to
even
her.
Even though she did direct Bewitched. Anyway, I thought that was interesting. How did that
tie into anything, though?
Christ.
It may have been interesting, but where were you going?
Now we're completely lost. Oh, yeah, Janet Nipplegate.
/ Watergate.
Oh,
yes,
that's probably how you got there,
was the gate part.
No, it makes sense. Anyway, why couldn't they have some sort of, like, time delay where they use a time delay to optimize compression?
Yeah.
The variable bit rate.
It would make perfect sense.
I mean, it's got to be possible.
It's like they're already censoring shit anyways, so, you know, why not keep going?
Right, right. Okay, well...
why not use it to someone's benefit?
So we miss anti-aliasing, and live-action HD sports look like crap. We don't care what anyone says because it's true.
Yep.
Remember how good the football games used to look on good old analog television?
Yeah.
No compression garbage anywhere, but...
back in the good old days.
Oh, it's unfortunate. I'm sure we've done whole podcasts about compression, because it's one of my pet peeves.
Out of the smoldering ruins of whatever happened.
Okay. Well, what about that Scarlett Johansson thing from earlier? I mean...
yeah, Dale made some sort of, you know, broad accusation. He's not even here to defend himself.
But, oh, that's even better.
But he... yeah, we were watching The Man Who Wasn't There, and of course Scarlett Johansson was in it, and it was one of her earlier films. And he made
like
some...
Horse Whisperer.
Yeah, and he made some comment that she was a butterface.
Yeah.
Which, hopefully our listeners are familiar with what a butterface is. But if they're not... I guess Ben can elaborate.
Oh, I get to say this?
Yes. Your site, after all. So.
It's when everything about a girl is good, but her face.
Yeah.
But her face. And because, well, I had a poll on my site, like, you know, which is a bigger butterface, Angelina Jolie or...
didn't you have, like, what's her name? The
Fergie,
yeah. Yeah, so...
of course, Angelina Jolie was in that Beowulf movie that we ended up seeing.
Yeah, she was in... nude, gold-painted 3D glory,
I guess. I was thinking about that movie, and it reminded me of Who Framed Roger Rabbit in a lot of ways, because they had a lot of, like, sexual stuff in it that would make people uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good that they do that, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, this is a PG-13 movie, it happens to be animated, so you know what? Deal with it.
Yeah, it was about Grendel or whatever, because she was like, oh, you can't hear him when he comes, and he's like, oh, well, they'll hear me.
Oh, yeah, that was it.
That's
that
what it was, but... yeah. You know, it's, like, fun that they slip stuff like that in there. And,
right.
But, yeah, so
Scarlett
Johansson.
Oh, wait,
Scarlett
we didn't even, like, discuss the butterface thing. I'm sorry, we got off topic there.
Now, I have to say I completely disagree with Dale's assertion.
Yeah.
I think she's one of the more attractive actresses out there.
She looks like she's probably kind of short.
Yeah, yeah. But that doesn't make her a butterface.
No. Yeah.
It's,
Well, I don't know. She kind of has the big lip thing going. Maybe that's what he meant.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he doesn't like big lips.
Well, that's like everybody
Angelina
in Hollywood
Jolie's
is like,
got
you know,
big lips.
You know, yeah, sticking collagen in their lips like there's no tomorrow. Yeah. I mean,
maybe hers is just natural. I don't know. It's just how it is.
I thought it was stupid in The Island. You know, when they caught her and then they were gonna like operate on her and then she gets out off the table and she's, you know, fully dressed.
Yeah.
Like, what the? I mean, you know, if. Just don't get her on the table in the first place, you know? Because otherwise, it's just, what the fuck is this shit?
Yeah, so Scarlett Johansson, butterface, not so much.
Yeah.
Dale's kind of off his rocker.
Yeah, it's kind of like, people say things like that, but then you have the whole kick out of bed for eating crackers thing, and when push comes to shove, you know?
Yeah. Pretty much.
There you go, we have vindicated Scarlett Johansson. Once again.
It's a nice bookend to having Keanu Reeves on the beginning.
Was he ever in a movie with her?
Probably.
Wasn't she in that movie with Bill Murray about translating things? Lost in Translation,
yeah.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be surprised if she's popped up in something with Keanu. She was in, like, the last couple of years, she's been in a lot of stuff. Like,
she's pretty much in every movie, wasn't she?
Yeah, like, this year she's kind of chilled a little bit, it seems like. But, yeah, for a while there, it was like, pretty much every movie. She was like the female Jude Law for a while there.
But will she suffer the same fate?
I hope not.
Did you think Jude Law was like a good actor? Or
I think he's had his moments, but overall I wouldn't really say he's anything special. Like, I thought he was really good as Gigolo Joe and AI.
Oh, yeah.
But for the most part...
seems like Hollywood just gets kind of hung up on an actor and or actress and
yeah,
for really no reason. Like, well, now Shia LaBeouf, obviously, yeah, and he'll be in Indiana Jones, and
well, and then they'll throw him in something else. Times.
Yeah,
he's gonna go the way of Orlando Bloom, is I think the way Shia LaBeouf's gonna go.
Yeah, probably.
Because Orlando
Bloom,
just
because you're in a bunch
like,
of big hit movies, that it's not because you were in it. Like Transformers yeah. could have put in, they could have put Tony Shalhoub in the lead, and it still
that would have been pretty sweet.
Yeah, my car is a robot.
That'd be pretty awesome. But yeah, Jude Law. Yeah.
Yeah, we should do another podcast where we rip on Hollywood again. That'd be fun.
Might as well. There's plenty to rip on.
Okay, well, we'd probably better let you go after wasting so much of your time.
Yes.
But tune in 2 weeks where we have our Christmas special. We're not sure what the topic's going to be, but we are going to have a special Christmassy intro.
Yes.
It's a Wonderful Half-Life.
Portal. Orange box.
I still haven't figured out how to work the companion cube into it.
Oh, it's got to be in there.
Oh, I know, I know.
Maybe it's like every time a bell rings, a companion cube gets its wings.
Or gets incinerated.
One or the other.
All right, well, we'll talk to you next time.
Adios.